Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Well, most of us read the Bible throughout the week, and I kept running across passages that talked about light. And I was reading 2 Corinthians, and light came up again. So I said, Lord, are you saying that I should stay with this for a little while? He said, well, so as I was thinking about it, so God gave me a new thing about light. So the continuation is light comprehension. Light comprehension. And so we're going to go to John chapter 1 verse 5 to see what we mean by light comprehension. How many remember the SAT test, or those? It's not just the SAT, the CAT test, the California Achievement Test. Remember those? That's what they used to call it when I was in school. Now they just call them achievement tests. But how many remember the reading comprehension section? Huh? And even when I got into law school and I was taking the getting ready to go into law school and took the LSAT, reading comprehension was on that too. So you can never get away from reading comprehension, amen. But in this passage, we're looking at light comprehension. And in verse 5, it says, well, actually, let's go to 3. All things were made through him. And this is John chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, what? Comprehend it. Now, comprehend is a big word it's a smaller word, but it means to understand. Understand what you're reading. When we were doing the reading comprehension section, you had a section that you had to read, and then you had to answer questions about the section that you read so that they were testing your comprehension. And how many know that we have spiritual comprehension that we have to be astute with? Amen? We have to know how to be able to comprehend the difference between light and darkness. So this talks about those that were in darkness could not comprehend that Jesus was the light. But this challenge is going on and continues to go on. So the first point I have here is that all that appear as light are not light. Huh? All that appear as light are not light. Now remember what we said, light means not just the light of day, but light means spiritual understanding. And those that purport to bring spiritual understanding are not always bringing the proper understanding. How many remember might have been the late 90s in Yelm, the city of Yelm. You guys remember all that talk? And there was this, I think it was Shirley MacLaine was sort of behind it, but I don't think she was completely behind it. Remember all that talk? And there was this spirit, this ancient spirit that they named Ramtha. You remember that? How many remember that? And Ramtha was this spirit that was telling people what they needed to do with their life. And just recently, I actually had a case in Yelm. And there is a school of spiritual enlightenment, and guess what the name of that school was? Ramtha. And it has this gigantic campus, like the biggest thing in Yelm. Now, Yelm ain't nothing but a drop in the bucket. And this campus is about, first it's gated, and then it just goes on for acres. And this spirit was designed to teach or bring an understanding, but how many know Ramtha has no understanding? Because first of all, Ramtha is not a real person. It's a spirit. And it's a demonic spirit that has confused people into thinking that he or it is a messenger of truth. Huh? And so this is the kinds of things that we need to be able to understand or comprehend, that there are some things out there that purport to be light, but really are darkness. And so let's look at what the scripture says. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. And this is a passage that most of us are familiar with. Second Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. And it says here, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity for those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For, and this is the part I want to get to, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. So first Paul talks about people, and notice how the church is pretty young at this point, but already there were false teachers in the church. Huh? And some of them were actually not the 12 apostles, but some of the disciples of the 12. Because Paul actually talks about some of them in some of his lists. You know how he goes through the list. He says, and so-and-so did this to me. And he loves, and I think John talks about he loves the preeminence of everything. And he's actually prevented some people from fellowshipping with the church. I mean, you've seen that. So there are false teachers and false apostles, most people don't call themselves apostles as much, although you see that more and more now. Today, but they call themselves bishops and pastors and evangelists and prophets and all that. But he talks about being false prophets, and then he says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. So he's saying here, the devil tricks you into thinking that he is the minister and angel of light. That's how he deceived Eve. Because he didn't come and tell Eve, I'm the devil and I'm the bad guy. And, you know, and so, you know, if you do all the bad you can do, I'll be your buddy. No, that's not the tact he used with Eve. He used the, I come to you with a truth that God just happened to forget to tell you. And this truth is, if you eat the thing that he told you not to eat, he's just holding back on you. And he knows that as soon as you eat this, you're going to be like he is. And I wish they would have had a mirror, because then they could have looked in the mirror and says, we're like him already. We don't need to be like him. We're already like him. Huh? But they didn't. And this goes back to the naivete of Adam and Eve, if you want to use those terms. I don't know if I can literally say that because I wasn't there. But I do know that they were obviously naive to sin. But they were not naive to obedience. Okay? And had that just been the issue, if they'd have just said, look, man, God said no, we say no. Huh? The game would have been over. But no, they were a little bit curious about what this new thing they've been brought, this new truth, this new light, this new enlightenment that he's bringing our way. But as we know that it wasn't actually light, it was darkness. And so we have to learn to identify or comprehend darkness so that we can recognize it. So let me give you a couple of things that ministers of the transformed ministers of darkness that try to present themselves as ministers of light always do. All right? The first thing they always do is they attack Jesus and his ministry. That's the first thing all the false teachers do. They always have something to say about Christ. And think about the New Age movement. For those of you that don't know what the New Age movement is, the New Age movement is a movement that teaches that we can be God and equal with God, and we just have to tap into that inner God that is in us. Huh? And I hate to say it, but Oprah Winfrey is one of the great preachers of this message. You know, I know a lot of folks love Oprah. Well, sorry, but she is one of the great preachers of this message. And so what that tells people is that they don't have to deal with sin. They just have to find this God in them and just allow it to come out. But how many know that that's not true? We're not gods, and we are sinners. So they always attack Jesus' ministry. Well, what was Jesus' ministry? We look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, and I can't remember who read this. I think Daryl read this last week. Daryl Davis Bell, which was one of the preachers on the platform during the little thing we had last week. Luke 4, 18 through 19. And Jesus, this is his earthly ministry, okay? There is a distinction between his earthly ministry and also the ministry that he also finished with his death. But this is his earthly ministry. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's his earthly ministry that he did on a day-to-day basis. But one of the attacks about Jesus is that Jesus never really performed any miracles. There's a whole school, a whole book, a whole series called the Jesus Seminar that were trying to undo every miracle that Jesus did. They tried to explain it away, take it out. This is not really part of the Bible. They had cut the Bible up so much, we didn't really have much Bible left. But they wanted to discredit the miracles that Jesus did. Now, why is that important? What did Jesus say to the people that wouldn't believe him in the day that he was preaching? He said, "If you don't believe my words," what did he say? "Believe the works that I do." Huh? So false people that are trying to have a false light want to take away the works so that you won't not only not believe his words, but you have no works to believe. So always they attack the ministry of Jesus. The second part of his ministry, of course, you can see in John chapter 12, verse 22 through 35. Now, this is the one that affected the whole world. Most of his earthly ministry was pointed towards the Jewish people, but this part of his ministry was pointed towards all of us. Amen? And it says in verse 23, let's start there. "But Jesus answered, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." And then he says in verse 27, "My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose," everybody say this purpose, "I am come to this hour." And you jump down to verse 34. And it says, "The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be..." Well, let me go back to 30. "This voice you heard," he says, "now is the judgment of this world." 31. Sorry. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. So Jesus' work was to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Now, Anna saw me reading this morning, and she always thinks I'm just gathering information because I like to read. But I was reading about how others view sin in their religious persuasions, is what I was trying to find out. But I didn't even have to go outside of what the so-called church. There's a lot of church folks that don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So then the question is, how do they become church folks if they don't believe in what brought them into the church? I mean, that's the old saying, and I never did understand it until I got older, to cut off your nose to spite your face. I used to hear that. It's like, what in the world does that mean? That means you're mad at yourself, so you cut your nose off. That's what it means. And you say, I'll get even with you, face. I'm going to cut my nose off. And you're not getting even with anybody but yourself, because your face is part of you. So it's a confused mindset. And unfortunately, the church is in a very confused mindset in some circles. Many people are preaching a gospel that has no Jesus, that has no death, burial, or resurrection, has no miracles, has no Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. So let me ask you your question, then what are you preaching? What's left? There's nothing left. If Jesus is just like everybody else, we might as well fold up the tent and go out and play ball today, because there's nothing to keep us for what we believe. But these people are what you would call ministers of the enemy, who come to as angels of light, but they're really angels of darkness in disguise. As we like to say, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Now notice that analogy, wolves in sheep's clothing, is a biblical analogy, because the sheep represent who? The church. We're considered the sheep of his pasture. That's what the psalm says. That's what I think John 10 talks about. He says, my sheep know my voice. But with amongst the sheep with hooded wool clothing on top are wolves looking to devour sheep, or looking to gather their own flock, if you will. And that's the people that we have to be aware of. And the first thing they'll do is attack the ministry of Jesus Christ. Yes, yes. Because they have to attack his authority to get some authority. Right. Are you with me on this? So in other words, they have to bring Jesus down so they could be lifted up. But Jesus said it the other way around. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw people. But see, when men want to be lifted up, they have to push Jesus down. They have to put him on all our levels. Jesus was just like me, just like the book that came out and said, well, Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene and he had a family. How many have heard that before? The Da Vinci Code? Yeah, that was a movie about it. And I think in one of the movies before The Passion, they had Jesus having sexual fantasies about Mary Magdalene. You guys don't remember that one, do you? Yeah, no, I didn't watch none of it because of his foolishness. I'm not going to submit myself to foolishness. But you hear about it. And if Jesus is just like you and me, he could not die for our sins. That's the whole point. He had to be greater than us to overcome sin. Are you with us here? And then because he had to overcome sin, we could not be saved until he could overcome sin. And he had to be tempted. He was tempted, but he did not succumb to the temptation. Amen. He was tempted. Yes, he was tempted to have sex outside of wedlock. He was tempted to lie, cheat, steal. He was tempted to do it all. And he resisted the temptation. He was also tempted to preserve his own life when he was faced with death. And how many know that's the highest temptation? Are you with me? Because when you're facing death, you'll say anything. No, I'm sorry, not. Time out. No, can we have a do-over here? Are you really going to kill me? No, okay, I'm not that serious about this. I'm sorry. Okay, I was just kidding. Ah! You know, we'll do anything to get out of things when it comes to trying to kill us. But Jesus didn't do it. He wouldn't even say anything. Matter of fact, when they asked him the hard question, are you the Christ or not? And he had been silent the whole trial. But he said, Father, can I answer that question? And he said, yeah, I'm the Christ. And not only that, there's going to come a day when you're going to see me coming down in clouds of great glory and authority. And they said, and that's all they needed to hear. Either they had to bow down and worship him at that point, or they had to kill him. And they chose to kill him. So Jesus is going to be attacked by the ones that are trying to bring us a false light. Amen? Notice, like I talked about, the New Age movement wants to make you a god. Because if you're a god, then you're just like Jesus. But we all know nobody out there is a god. If we're gods, we're the poorest representation of a god that's ever been displayed. Amen? I mean, gods, you know, we would be like the Greek gods. Those folks was messed up. I don't know if you guys ever read Greek mythology, but Greek mythology is some of the most ridiculous stuff that you would ever see. Gods jealous of other gods, killing other gods, killing God's children, killing everything so that they can, that's the kind of gods we would be. Because we don't have the righteous capacity to do righteous things. But the God we serve is high and lifted up above all these things. He's not interested in power struggles. He's not in a power struggle with the devil. He's overcome. The devil has never been a problem with God. As soon as he got out of line, he was gone. And that was it. There was no, nope, that's it. And you don't get another chance. The devil cannot accept Christ and become become saved. He is eternally damned. And the Bible says hell was not created for people, but it was recreated for the devil and his angels. But because the devil is a slickster, he has convinced some people to come with him because he's told them he is an angel of light. And there's some folks that didn't want him to be an angel of light. Some folks know that he's the devil, and they still want to serve him because they say stupid things like, I'd rather go to hell and party with my friends. Let me tell you something. You're not having no parties in hell, and your friends won't know if they're there or not, because it's not like, hey, Junior, I know you would go be down here with me. No, it's none of that. It's none of that. You're all going to be in such torment, you're not going to know who and want to care who's there. So he has convinced people as an angel of light that he has the truth. When there, Jesus says, look, there's only one truth, one way, and I'm the one. And notice he calls the devil a father of lies, meaning that he invented he invented lying. That's what it means, that he is the inventor of the lie. And he's constantly, he's the best liar. And you know, some folks we've met, they're good liars. Huh? Some of our kids are good liars. You know, some of our kids, they cry a river. But I really, Dad, I really didn't do it. I really didn't. And then the evidence is all over them. What are you saying? No, Dad, I really didn't do it. Well, what's all that red all over you? And the thing you're looking for, who poured the paint on the floor? I didn't do it. What's all the red all over your shoes and your clothes? What is all that? But really, Dad, I didn't do it. It wasn't me and nobody else in the house. You know, you couldn't say he poured it on me. But the devil is the father of lies. So he makes truth and makes it sound bad. He takes the truth and twists it and makes the truth sound bad. And that's what's going on in the world today. People are being punished for telling the truth. The truth is on trial. But the lies are going by because he is the angel that appears as an angel of light. Let's look at a couple other passages and then I'll look at the second thing. 1 John 2:22 through 23. First John, which is, of course, towards the back, if those are using the old Bible. I know we got the Bible up on the board, so that helps. But look, it says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So notice that a liar is the one that denies that Jesus is the Christ or the Messiah. And I think there's another passage, I think it's the next one I have, talks about he who said that Jesus did not come into the flesh is a liar and an antichrist. And I think that's in 2 John. See here, 2 John 1:7, which is, of course, it's a repetition because it's only one chapter. It says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. Everybody say, many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So notice here in that day, there were even, and you know, even more so today, but even a few years after Jesus died, they were saying he wasn't a real person. He didn't live in the flesh like you and I. And there was also a sect that had basically started in the church but got off called Gnostics. How many have heard the word Gnostic? Starts spelled with a G-N-O-S-T-I-C. And Gnostics believed that the flesh was evil. Everything about the flesh could not be redeemed. So Jesus could not come in the flesh because then he would be evil. So they said Jesus was not ever physically a human, but just spiritually a human. Now, I'm not sure how that works, but those are the details you work out later in their minds. But that's not possible because Jesus, of course, was a human being. He said many times, touch me, feel me. He held people. He kissed people. He ate. He drank. He slept. So, of course, he was a human being. But just shortly after his death, burial, and resurrection, people were saying this. And how many people have known that, Jesus was never really a real person? People say that all the time now. 2,000 years later, well. But the scripture says these people are deceivers. They're trying to deceive you out of believing what you believe. Are you with me here? It's so important that we understand that they are trying to trick you out of believing the truth. Because the scripture says, and you shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if they trick you out of believing the truth, guess what? You can't be free. You're in darkness or in bondage. And the last thing I'll point out is that the deceivers always attack the inerrancy, which means free from error and accurate, of the Bible. They don't want you to believe that the Bible is true. That's the second. So they attack Christ, mostly his deity, and then they attack the scriptures. Well, you know, what did we hear? Before I even got into church, everybody, a white man wrote the Bible. How many heard that one? I hate to tell you this, but the Bible did not come out of America. The Bible was not written in Europe. The Bible was written in the Middle East. And most of the people in the Middle East are not white. Huh? They're not white. So the Bible may have been translated by people of different racial groups, but the Bible was not written by white people. But that's just to discredit the Word of God. And you ask yourself, what is it about the Bible that brings people to just want to discredit it? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I mean, we can read any book in anywhere but the Bible. You could bring the Buddhist text and nobody would say anything to you. You could bring the Quran and nobody would say anything to you. You could bring the Hindu scriptures, and nobody would say. But as soon as you bring a Bible out, there's problems. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that? See, yes, don't you know? And see, this is, again, help us to take the cover off our eyes. The opposition to the church is because the church is telling the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. People don't want to hear that Jesus died for their sins. Because I don't want to hear anything about my sins. That happened a long time ago. I don't want to be reminded of what I used to be. Well, you don't have to be if you confess your sins. He's given you an opportunity to get rid of those things. But if you just want to think you're going to forget them, you know, in my profession, a lot of people will have a legal problem, or somebody will send them a legal letter and say, if you don't answer this letter in 15 days, we're going to file a lawsuit and so on and so forth. And you know what people do with those letters? They hide them as if that's going to make them go away. Huh? And then they call me after day 20, when it said 15, they say, Mr. Franklin, can you help me with this? I said, when did you get this? About 3 weeks ago. And what's the date on there? They say they're going to do this about a week ago. And what do you want me to do with it? Because it's too late now. The only thing I could do is check to see if they kept their word and if they did what they said they were going to do. And if they did, there's nothing I can try and undo it, but it's harder to undo something than it is to prevent something. Huh? Isn't it? It's harder to fix a problem than to take a preventative measure and prevent the problem. But that's what the world wants to do, is they want to just put it under their bed and think that everybody else is going to forget it just like they. But notice that you really don't forget the things you've done in your past. You don't forget them. You regret them, but the only thing that's going to wash them away is the blood of Jesus. And when you when people are telling you, I had no blood necessary, I was reading some articles were saying, the Christianity is that bloody slaughterhouse religion. Why would a God require his son to die for the sins of the world? Because he's smarter than you. That's why he did. He knows more than you do. And he knows that that's the only thing that will supply or satisfy sin. He knows that. That's why he taught that. But you, who think you've been book taught, think you know more than God. I don't think I would have never done that. That's why everybody you know is going to hell. And everybody God knows is going to hell. You see what I'm saying? So if we're foolish and allow people who call themselves preachers of light teach us things that are contrary to the scriptures, we'll be in darkness just like they are. Jesus said they're blind leaders of the blind. And he said, and if the blind lead the blind, they're all going to fall into a ditch. So we have to recognize that this is what we have to learn, how to comprehend light from darkness. And the stepping point or the starting point is Christ. Christ is the pinnacle, the very center of everything we believe. And as soon as you see somebody trying to sling mud on Christ, know that they're trying to put the light out because they want to live in darkness. Amen? So we just have to understand that. Remember, just like we said in the SAT, we have to comprehend what we read. We have to understand it. And it's not about getting a 1700 on the SAT score. I don't know what the score standard is, but when I was there, I think 1800 was the standard. That's a long time ago. I was heard somebody talking in the store the other day, and she was saying, I'm going to have my 40th high school reunion coming up. And then I thought about my high school reunion. I said, man, how long have I been out of high school? And so, because somebody said, ooh, you're old. And then I started adding up the years I've been out. I was like, man, I've been out 35 years. I said, I must be old too. I said, man, because this would be my 35th year from graduating from high school this year. And I won't say anything about anybody else who might be older than that, but it doesn't matter because truth doesn't change with age. The truth of the gospel reigns supreme 2,000 years, 10,000 years, a million years. It's never going to change. The gospel will be the same no matter how long people try to change it. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to remember, Jesus is the center, the linchpin of the gospel message. And the scriptures are the thing that we have to know so that we can discern truth from error, light from darkness. And I was going to read 2 Timothy 3:16, so let me go to that and then we'll close. It says, most of us have memorized this passage. Yeah, it's one of those other 3:16s. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that. Profitable for doctrine and for correction. It teaches us what is right and what is wrong. When you're going to grade a paper, you have to have an answer key. Remember those days? And if the answer key is wrong, we're all messed up. Isn't that wrong? Worse than a wrong answer key. I remember when I taught in the college a couple times, I was doing the answer key and the answers got rolled over and some answers were put in the wrong spot and I'm grading the test and some of the students say, hey, that answer is not right. And I say, oh man, the key is wrong. Nothing worse than the wrong key to grade a test. Amen? But the scriptures are not incorrect. But the enemy wants the answer key to be incorrect so that any answer is good. You see that? But the scriptures are not going to be changed. Jesus said, no matter what, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will always remain the same. So we have to remember these things. These are the things that we have to combat. Light and darkness, truth and a lie. And it's never so blatant. You know, liars never tell you they're lying. You have to discern if they're lying. Huh? That's what makes a good liar. You can't tell. They can say it with a straight face. They could be sincere. But they're as sincere as a $3 bill. As they used to say, a $2 bill, but now they have those again. They're as sincere as a $3 bill, which is never sincere. Amen?
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.